puts me back in Manitoba many moons ago.
And on a calm Sunday before the snow, calm Sunday morning, we say hello to Gordon Goldsboro from the Manitoba Historical Society for our Abandoned Manitoba segment. Good morning, Gordon.
Good morning, Bruce.
So remind us of the clue from last week.
This week, stop. Monument, East Spruce Woods Provincial Park, stop. Reminder about old technology, stop. Forerunner text messaging, stop. And what I was doing, of course, was imitating the style of old-style telegrams, where the word stop was inserted to make clear the ends of sentences. Well, today we are talking about the history of telegraphy in Manitoba, and in particular, telegraph lines that still stand around the province. But we're going to start our discussion with a monument.
Yeah, you said east of Spruce Woods Provincial Park, right?
Right, yeah. Back in 2010, I found a monument for something called Spruce Hills Consolidated School. It was located a few miles south of Austin along Highway Number 34. The school operated for only 5 years, from 1963 to 1968, after which the schoolhouse was renovated into a private home. In 1988, someone erected a pyramid-shaped concrete monument at the site of the school, and it was really noteworthy, and you know, it's really stuck in my mind for the past decade because the monument was liberally covered in very colorful ceramic and glass insulators.
Yeah, these things are really neat. So tell us, what is a glass insulator?
Well, glass and ceramics are poor conductors of electricity. So for decades in the early history of transmitting electricity along wire, they've been used to prevent the current from grounding out. So, for example, in older homes with what's called knob and tube wiring, the electricity is conducted in copper wires that pass through wall studs in porcelain tubes, and the wires were held in place by porcelain knobs. When you get outdoors, the glass and the ceramics have been used for lines that transmit power, telegraph, and telephone as well.
Yeah, so the glass insulators on that school monument were from telephone lines then?
Well, probably yes, or they could have been from telegraph lines. The two technologies used essentially the same sort of insulators. These glass insulators have become really popular collectibles, and they were produced by hundreds of manufacturers around North America in vast quantities in a variety of designs. You know, so for example, I don't personally collect insulators, but I was given a couple of them a few years ago. Mine weigh about 1.5 pounds each, are 4 inches high and about 3.5 inches in diameter at the widest part. And they're hollow on the, in the middle with sort of threads molded into the glass so they could be screwed onto wooden pegs that sat along a crossbeam of the telegraph pole. And I found that after doing some research that these insulators were made sometime between 1927 and 1959 by a firm called the Dominion Glass Company of Montreal.
Oh.
Now, mine are clear glass, mm-hmm. But they were available in a range of colors, including green, yellow, pink, orange, and blue. And in fact, collectors really go for the ones that are colored.
Well, when I grew up, we always had what I think now is an insulator of some type. It was a rather large piece of either glass or ceramic, probably ceramic. But it looked like the end of a trombone, like the trombone bell inside of another one, inside of another one. And I've always wondered, where did that come from? Is that the kind of thing you're talking about too?
Exactly.
A little different though, right?
Well, it was bigger scale, but right. Yeah, the same basic principle, yes.
Yeah, we had one in our backyard. My parents would turn it upside down, pour water in these sort of cones, and the birds would... would bathe in it. But I mean, that's a long time ago. That was probably even before I was born.
Well, you're going to have to ask your parents then, what's the story? Because it sounds like it would be an interesting thing to know the history of.
Where'd that thing come from? Okay, so tell us the difference between telephone and telegraph.
Well, telephone is for transmitting sound, of course, whereas telegraph is for transmitting information, usually in the form of text. Now, of course, we still have telephones today, while the modern counterpart to telegraphy are email and text messages.
Mm-hmm.
Telegraphy is the older of the two technologies, having been invented in 1837, and American inventor Samuel Morse made a major revolution to telegraphy when he developed the system of dots and dashes that we now call Morse code that provided a way to transmit information along a wire. The first telegraph line in Canada transmitted a message from Toronto to Hamilton in 1846.
Wow, that's pretty early on. So when did telegraph service come to Manitoba?
Well, we tend to think of Manitoba as being isolated from the rest of the world when it first joined Confederation, but this is not exactly true. As early as 1864, the Hudson's Bay Company had been making plans to construct a telegraph line to Upper Fort Garry from Minnesota. The first working telegraph line in Manitoba went into service in November 1871, barely a year after Manitoba became a province, when the Lieutenant Governor, Adams Archibald, sent a message to the Governor General in Ottawa via telegram. Over the next several decades, news was transmitted around the globe by telegraph, laying the groundwork for our modern interconnected world.
So where does the where's the abandonment come into this story?
Well, the use of telegraph began to wane after the First World War, and eventually it was displaced by telephones. Telegraphy, well, it continued in use for specific purposes, such as for delivering telegrams, for special announcements, and telex machines for wire service news, which of course gradually morphed into fax machines. Many of the industrialized countries around the world, however, have now ended their telegram service, you know, as the internet has mostly taken over the function of telegrams. But that's not the case here in Canada. Telegram service that used to be provided by a company called CNCP Telecommunications, a joint venture between the two major railways, continues to operate today. It's something called Telegrams Canada. But judging from its website, that looks like it's ripped out of the 1990s, I suspect business is not especially brisk. The result? There are abandoned telegraph lines all over Manitoba. You know, in the last year alone, I have seen telegraph poles with glass insulators and dangling wires, often with mature trees growing around them, along railway tracks in several places here in Winnipeg, in Charleswood and Whittier Park, and outside Winnipeg, for example, along the main line a couple of miles west of Elma.
So these are not live wires, are they?
No, no, no. The wires in many cases have been broken.
Right.
They're literally just dangling down from the poles.
So why are they just left there like that rather than being removed?
Well, I suspect the railway companies don't see a strong business case to remove them, you know, even though the wire could presumably be recycled for its metal content. But it's interesting. I found a news item from 1985 in which an enterprising thief stole nearly 10,000 pounds of copper wire from 48 miles of abandoned telegraph lines along the railway between Brunkhilde and Winnipeg. But lest any of our listeners are thinking of following this person's lead, I should remind everyone that the lines do belong to the railways. So anyone removing wire or glass insulators, you know, even as a souvenir, is guilty of trespassing and theft. You know, I have to wonder where the good folks who created that monument for Spruce Hills School found their insulators. And yet, despite the apparent lack of interest by the railways to remove them, there are safety reasons to do it.
Like what?
Well, the telegram wires dangle from abandoned poles, and they become an entanglement risk for wildlife, especially large animals such as deer, moose, elk, caribou. You know, for example, in 2015, I found a news item from Yukon which said that a moose had to be euthanized after it was found entangled in abandoned telegraph wire. You know, so there is a good reason to get rid of some of these old wires. But, you know, in the meantime, until they're gone, think of these old telegraph wires as visible reminders of how people used to share news before they had email and text messages.
It's an old era. You mentioned Morse code, and I wonder, some people might not even know what that is anymore.
That's true, although there still are people out there who are diehard Morse code fanatics, and they do exchange messages in Morse codes.
Okay. Ham radio operators are one group that do. For sure. Thanks for that, Gordon. It's very interesting. What do you got for next week?
Well, next week I'm going to talk about a visitor to Manitoba in 1920 who claimed to be walking around the world. And by the time he got here, he was said to have covered over 52,000 miles on foot.
Really?
The truth? Yeah, the truth turned out to be somewhat different.
I would think so. Okay, well, I look forward to that one. We'll talk to you next week, Gordon.
Talk then.
Thanks again.
Thanks very much.
Bye-bye.
Bye-bye. No.
time the wind blows puts me back in Manitoba.